I'm going to read from John chapter 20, and it's verses 24 to 31. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed."
Right, well, good morning, everybody. And a particular thank you to Jane and Roger for the work they put into this morning, and to Fran and her leading us in prayer. I feel so encouraged that the Lord is with us, and his face is towards us. And my hope this morning is that just as we consider Thomas and his story and how the Lord graciously spoke to him and dealt with him will be an encouragement to all of us. Because in essence, at that time, they were experiencing two emotions, or Thomas was at least. And I've got here my PowerPoint for this morning. Fear was one, and doubt was the other. Two very kind of negative emotions. But fear first. Fear is one of creation's most powerful emotions, isn't it? And it occurs in all living creatures, and it has to do with our very survival. Something happens, maybe some threat. Suddenly there is, adrenaline and heart rate and sweating and alertness. It's the fight or flight mechanism in response to the threat. Either to square up or and fight or to run away, and it's an automatic response, and ultimately it's crucial to our survival. And without it, I guess death might come much sooner. And it was in this situation that the disciples found themselves that Sunday evening, many years ago, scared. Locked down, worried about every noise, on high alert, I guess. The doors were locked, windows were bolted. They were frightened for their lives. And for us today, fear is a big thing, maybe in a different way. And this series is a counter to that. Fear not is the message. Fear not. Christ is risen. So that's where we are this morning. And maybe we can empathize with them some way because of where we are at the moment. We too face a danger, a different danger, as Boris Johnson called it, the invisible mugger. And with the government, as Fran mentioned, the government apparently looking for ways to ease our lockdown, we face a new question. Is it safe? Is it safe to go out? So we come to Thomas, often referred to as Doubting Thomas. And I think that Thomas has had a bad press over the centuries, where this one incident in his life has given him this sort of negative branding, and I think unfairly. And I want to cast him in a more positive light and be encouraged both by him, his honesty, and by Jesus's gracious reaction to that honesty. So, what do we know about Thomas? Well, we know he was probably a twin, at least that's what his name means, but we don't know who his brother or sister was, so I guess maybe that's a little bit of an irrelevance. And we find his name in the lists of Jesus's 12 disciples in each of the Gospels, but only John records other stories that include Thomas. And you may recall the incident about Lazarus of Bethany, the brother of Mary and Martha, who had fallen ill and died. And Jesus was not in the area because he'd slipped away over the Jordan as the Jews in Jerusalem had tried to stone him, accusing him of blasphemy. When Jesus suggested to his disciples that they should go back to Bethany, which was right near Jerusalem, his disciples were afraid. Not safe, they said. The Jews will try and kill you. But it was Thomas the Brave, who said, "Let's go with him. We will die with him there." Then we come to, well, bear in mind, this all took place on the Sunday. Go back to Thursday, just 3 days before, during their Passover meal together, Jesus had been kind of talking and acting in ever more mysterious ways. He washed their feet, which was slightly bizarre. He had suddenly started to talk about betrayal and death, and that he was going to leave them and there being many rooms in his father's house. And Jesus had repeated that he was going away to prepare a place for them and that he would return to take them there. But it was when Jesus said that they, the disciples, knew the way to where he was going, that Thomas, honest Thomas, blurted out, "Lord, I don't have the faintest idea what you're talking about. We don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" So there we have it. Brave Thomas, maybe. Honest Thomas, maybe. Or doubting Thomas. And then we come to this week's passage, and we know that Thomas was not there for at least part of that Sunday evening. We don't know where he'd gone, actually, do we? Maybe because he was Thomas the Brave, he was the one who'd gone down to the market for some essential supplies. I don't know. Whatever. He missed Jesus suddenly showing up, as we heard last week. And when he came back and they let him in, the atmosphere had changed. "We've seen the Lord," was the story. "He just appeared in the room and spoke to us." And this is where honest Thomas expresses his incredulity. Like first you were all too scared to go out to get some food in, so I went, and now I come back, and you're saying that Jesus just appeared here in the room, like appeared, and talked about him sending you somewhere, about Holy Spirit and forgiving sins, and then he disappears again. Come on. I tell you guys, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and the gash in his side, I'm not believing anything you tell me. So, you see, actually, it was not just doubt, it was disbelief. And in fact, in the passage we just read, the NIV is in a small minority of translation that uses the word doubt. Most say unbelieving or faithless or words like that. And the two words used in the Greek, pistos and apistos, they're opposites, believe or disbelieve, faith or faithless, you know, take your pick. But again, you know, this is semantics, really. What Thomas, to my mind, Thomas was looking for evidence in the kind of swirling tide of events over the previous 48 hours. He was looking for something solid to stand on. Do you recall a number of weeks ago, we were in Psalm 95 when we were looking at Hebrews. You remember that time when we used to meet at a place called Albert Street? And the words of that psalm start, "Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation." And At this point in time, Thomas was really struggling to find this rock of salvation. And I guess this is sometimes where we can be and where maybe we are at the moment for some of us. Just like Thomas, you know, sometimes we can be full of faith and brave, and sometimes we're kind of honest and upfront, and sometimes we have doubt. Unbelief, if you want, whatever. We're not always on the mountaintops in our faith. And actually, you know, if you go to Psalm 23, that great psalm, yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you know, that is where we are all the time. That is our life on earth, is a life in the valley of the shadow of death. And yet, sometimes in that valley, we fear no evil. But sometimes it's more difficult, and fears and doubts creep in. Now, there are two things I want to underline here. First is this. Fear not. Christ is risen. And you see that Sue has put the I in the middle of Christ, which I didn't run through the spell check. My PowerPoint doesn't have a spell check. But we need not fear evil. We need not fear death. Christ is risen. And that proves it. The combined earthly authorities of Rome, politically and militarily, and the Jewish leaders religiously, had combined and come together to crush Jesus, to finish him, to wipe him from the earth. But there he was, living proof that their power had no hold on him. He was risen. He was alive. And that is our encouragement. That is our truth. Paul wrote years later to the church in Corinth. He said, when the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, when the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. And here's the point. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Fear not. Christ is risen. That's the first point. Second point is this response of Jesus to Thomas. Jesus faithfully and lovingly comes back to exactly where Thomas was. Here he says, look and feel, don't disbelieve, believe. And that is my expectation for all of us today. There was no rejection for Thomas, no rejection for us because of our failures, our doubts or unbelief. No. Be honest with your doubts or fears, and he will come to the place where you are with the answers you need, just as he did for Thomas. That is my conviction. And Thomas's response is one of overwhelming love and adoration. My Lord, my God. So encouraging that Jesus comes to us where we are in our doubts and fears and says, my face is towards you. I love that. Fran mentioned it in her prayers. And that is the truth. And that is the last we hear of Thomas. The Acts of the Apostles follows the work of God westwards to Asia Minor, to Europe, to Rome, beyond. Tradition has it that Thomas headed east, leaving Jerusalem apparently in about 50-52 AD and ending up in southern India. And there is an ancient Christian tribal group in present-day Kerala on the Malabar coast, of the southwest coast of India, that claims to come and have its origins from his work there. And he was, according to tradition, martyred near present-day Chennai or Mumbai, as it used to be. Who knows? His story is written in heaven, and maybe we'll find out one day. But for us, I guess we're a mix of all these things, sometimes brave, sometimes honest, sometimes doubting. But wherever you are in your inner self this morning, do be encouraged by this man. Jesus loves you as he loved Thomas. And he will come right to where you are as he came to Thomas where he was. Fear not, Christ is risen. Let's pray. Lord, we just love your grace. We thank you for it. We thank you for what you've done for us. We thank you that you came. Thank you that you loved us. You never rejected us, even though we were due for rejection because of who we are and what we've done. Yet, Lord, you came to put your arm around us, to show your love and care and concern for us. And we pray, I pray this morning, but for all of us, that you will just be with us in a new way. Lord, brush away our doubts. Bring us into this new place of belief, of trust, that you are in this dark place, maybe where we are at the moment. Lord, that we will have a vision of the highlands. Hallelujah. Amen. We're gonna finish with another song. It's a song that kind of tracks Jesus's life from his birth to the cross and underscores his purpose in it all, his love for us, his service on our behalf. And he calls us to believe, to have courage, to have faith, to follow him and serve him in all probability as Thomas had done and did in his life. So be encouraged. Over to you, John. From heaven you came, helpless babe.